A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. If all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York. 800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. Bets off. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. And 800-981-0023. In Puerto Rico, in a partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer is not valid to Puerto Rico residents. We give you the helpline, but is not available for the Puerto Rico residents out there. But it's okay. Still need to get that out there. Spreading the good message. Spreading the good word. Mm-hmm. Like the G card. Like the G card, where you can get your gambling credit card.
Like, there you go.
Dude, I'm telling you, it could have come in handy for me a few different times. There's no doubt about it. All right, so we threw them up just very shortly at the end of the first segment. Kelly, I do want to throw those odds back up again for the Ryder Cup. This is going to basically be the thing that everyone talks about for the next several weeks. Because the Tour Champion, you want to make the final 30. And now we have whittled our way from the 50 to the 30. And everyone wants to make the final 30. But with the weighted scoring system and all the things that are going on, Kelly, I mean, like, look. Half the field's dead on arrival. It's just you're collecting a paycheck, which, again, you earned it. You're getting the paycheck. But, I mean, listen, if you're starting 10 strokes off the lead, you're not winning. You know, it's just not happening, right? And so here we are. We're going to be talking more Ryder Cup, I think, more than anything else. And so these are the guys. Captain's pick, Zach Johnson's going to have to go in, and he's going to have to figure out who he wants to round out this team. All the obvious guys already there. You're talking Xander, you're talking Max Homa, you're talking Scotty, you're talking Harmon. These guys are already made the team automatic qualifiers inside of the top six, but there are captain's picks, and Colin Morikawa at minus 1,000, at least according to the people over at Bet365, think that he is a lock to make it. Ricky Fowler, who has been one of the most consistent players on tour, and Kelly, as popular as Ricky is, I think people might be looking at this number going like, oh, it's just because he's boys with all the guys and et cetera, et cetera. But, man, listen, Ricky Fowler has been one of the most consistent players on tour all season long, and I honestly think that it would be a shame if he didn't make it if he wasn't one of the captain's picks, because I think he has played his way and earned his way out there with week in and week out putting together really, really consistent performances.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you're saying. I think that there are – you know, whenever we talk Ryder Cup, and we're going to get to a couple of these guys this applies to, where the name matters. The name matters for Ryder Cup more than what they've done on the course maybe recently. And that is not the case with Ricky Fowler, at least this year. Ricky Fowler's been one of the best players on tour this entire season. So add that along with the fact that, yes, he has some good friends on this team and would seemingly be the perfect fit for it. Mm-hmm. That minus 700's light, if anything. Like, he's in. Him and Colin Morikawa are in.
Yeah, the interesting missing from this list is Jordan Spieth, and I think it's because the number would have to be like minus 20,000, and then at that point, there's just no there's no point. Jordan Spieth is on the outside looking in, but again, this is a guy we know for sure is getting – he's eighth, actually, in the standings, and so being so close as it is anyway, and then, of course, with his history and all of that, he's going to be on the team. Brooks Koepka is the one that's the most interesting. He was sitting – inside the automatic qualifying top six for the longest time. And then this past week, due to the results over at the BMW, falls to number seven. So literally one spot out and literally 29 points behind Xander Schauffele, who is the sixth automatic qualifier for the Ryder Cup team. There's mixed emotions on this, Kelly, because you look and you can say, man, he really showed up a lot in majors. But how much do we weigh complete body of work? How much do we weigh showing up week in, week out, and being able to do it on a week in and week out basis? We know the touring schedule for LIV is far, far lighter than it is for the PGA Tour. And so you look at some of these other guys, like we're talking about, like a Colin Morikawa, like a Ricky Fowler, like a Cam Young. We'll talk about Justin Thomas in just a little bit, but like these guys that have shown up and have on a week-to-week basis shown that they have consistency, that they are in good form as we move into the Ryder Cup. Now, we only have a very, very small sample size with Brooks Koepka, and that, I think, would be the knock if somebody wanted to keep him off the team.
I don't think you can keep him off. I think there are going to be some rumors swirling of, yes, Zach Johnson and Liv and all that type of stuff when it comes to Brooks Koepka's selection. You can't. It's Brooks Koepka. He comes up big in the big spots. You have to take him. We saw that again this year. I think there's a lot that you and I have talked about with, we're concerns over some players' development over on the Liv side. Brooks Koepka's not one of them. Everybody who's left for Liv, there's been one or two exceptions, and it's Brooks Koepka and maybe Dustin Johnson when it comes to almost everything that we talk about. And mm-hmm. Brooks Koepka showed this year that he still belongs in the conversation with the best in the world. And I know what you're saying. I don't really have concerns over a guy that at his age with what he's done this year. I'm not concerned about him getting ready and being ready for a Ryder Cup format.
Yeah, so let's play devil's advocate here because, again, if I was Zach Johnson, I'm putting him on the team. But let's play devil's advocate because this is going to be one of the arguments as well. There is something to this from a team perspective, from a camaraderie perspective, from a locker room perspective. Sure. He's the only Liv guy that's even close to making it. I know Bryson has played well just in the last couple of weeks, but he was horrid before that, and so like he's not gonna make it. So now you bring in the one guy, the one Liv guy, amongst all of these PGA Tour guys, all of these guys who most of them has spoke out against Liv, and all the, you know, the guys that chose to do it, kind of like throwing jabs here and there to those guys and stuff. There is that aspect. And listen, I will say that is a real thing, right? I mean, I do believe that. I mean, these guys are going to have to hang out together and practice together, and they'll be eating, you know, all that stuff. And if you're looking across the room and you just despise the guy that's sitting at the end of the table, that's probably not great for everything. That will be one of the things that's talked about over the next couple weeks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll go back to it. I think him and Dustin, I think – I don't think they ruffled as many feathers as some of these other guys, right? And maybe Dustin less than Brooks, but I think Brooks has also shown since the move to Liv, you know, he's wondered aloud about returning to the PGA Tour, right? Like, there's been those rumors out there. We've heard some of these golfers talk about what it's been like at some of these majors too, and I think there's a couple guys like Brooks and DJ where. Look, I don't think they had that many friends when they were on the tour anyways. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think they moved to Liv. I don't think they handled it in such a way that they pissed off a whole lot more people. So I hear what you're saying, and I think that's something, yes, that you do have to keep in mind. I just don't think Brooks Koepka this year is going to be that big of an issue. I think this Liv stuff has gone on long enough now where maybe some of those feelings have played themselves out already.
I think people are going to look at Lucas Glover at plus 300, and they're going to look at that and say, oh my gosh, how do you keep him off? This is a lock. I'm going to go take this 3-1 on Lucas Glover. You would really, really be buying into recency form, like recent form, if you're going to buy into Lucas Glover. Because again, yes, he got hot. He won a couple of tournaments in a row and had a decent showing this past week. Before that, Lucas Glover was way down in the standings. And Lucas Glover, Kelly, as someone you and I have bet him on multiple occasions, Lucas Glover is a guy that just was never really looked at as a serious contender in these tournaments. He was a great ball striker that couldn't putt, and you just knew when it all came down to it, he was going to miss the putt that he needed to do to get it done. Now, switches putters to this broomstick lab golf putter that he's using. He's putting a ton better. That said, you'd really be buying into the recent form, and I think the other thing that people don't really realize, because it just is such a hot topic because we're talking about the Ryder Cup so much, this actually isn't played until September the 29th. So we're how hot you are on August 20th, I mean, it's still a month and a week down the line, right? And so there is an argument for that, but you're still 5 weeks away from this tournament actually taking place, and we've seen guys either get really good over the course of 5 weeks or get really bad over the course of 5 weeks. I mean, 5 weeks is a long stretch.
Yeah, it is, with all due respect to Lucas Glover. And I mean that with all due respect. I'm not taking you on this team. And you've been great. And I think he's been a kind of champion here recently. I totally agree with some of the things he came out and said about with the tour's new schedule. I hate it as much as he does. You know, and then he goes out and wins a couple times right after he makes those comments. I thought that was awesome. He's just not going on this team. real quick, Cameron Young, Justin Thomas, those odds seem way too short. Like, are we convinced those two guys are that big locks to make it right now?
I don't think 600? Justin Thomas. Listen, I think there's going to be some real soul searching with Zach Johnson, with Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, and Keegan Bradley. Yep. I think that, like, those three guys, because you do have Sam Burns who won a match play event, you know, earlier this year. This is kind of how the Ryder Cup plays, you know, mm-hmm. And so
I'd throw Henley in there too.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. Again, something you can bet on over at Bet365. So we're going to start hour number two with Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus. Let's talk all things preseason and beyond.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday edition of a numbers game, hour number two. It is Matt Brown in for Gil for the next few days. We're going to continue to talk some NFL stuff along the way. We will look at the college football world a little bit later in the hour as well. But let's kick things off with my favorite site to go and get information, Pro Football Focus, Ben Brown. You can find him over there. No relation as far as I know, Ben, between you and I. None as far as I know anyway.
Yeah, I haven't been made aware of anything, but obviously us Browns obviously have, you know, the uncanny connection in certain ways. So I'm sure this is going to be a great segment.
I got a little red in the beard there too. So, you know, I mean, maybe, right. Yeah, maybe some stuff going on. I got a little bit of that going. So I do want to start with one of the things that came out that I thought was a little bit curious, and I want to get your thoughts here with the Colts deciding to, one, name Anthony Richardson starter and then decide to not play him in the second preseason game. I don't really understand with a guy that seems to need reps more than anything else and not really a guy that seems incredibly polished right now. What do you make of this, and does that make you even less excited about probably a team that you're not very excited about in the first place?
Yeah, I do think it's an interesting decision, obviously, not to get him reps. I'm not surprised that they did actually name him the starter. I do think if you can kind of, you know, evaluate some of these young, you know, signal caller type situations and who they have as the backup, like Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson are probably in a lot of ways on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as like how you're going to, you know, design and implement an offensive scheme that's really going to maximize one of their strengths, right? So I thought that they had to make a decision early on, and it does seem like, you know, the one case, kind of like you mentioned with Anthony Richardson, is the fact that he just doesn't have a ton of reps, right? And he probably doesn't have a ton of reps in a pro style scheme, and getting those reps is really going to be the only case where he can actually be, you know, a legitimate starting quarterback at the NFL level. So I like the fact that they've gone with him right away, you know, try to instill some confidence in him, but to not give him reps in the second preseason week, I think is probably a little bit of a miss. Obviously, you know, Shane Steichen comes from the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, coaching branch tree that maybe doesn't place a ton of emphasis on preseason games. And maybe that's the one follow-up for it. But I think getting this entire offense, especially, you know, the young receiving unit that they have available, as many game reps as possible is only going to, you know, help them long-term. So I think it was probably a miss in preseason week two, but I do think long-term, you know, Anthony Richardson starting from week one on is very much going to be the best long-term outlook for this Indianapolis Colts team.
So Ben, we look at this team and I don't think it's really under the radar. I think the Falcons are a team that people who are really kind of in the bubble are at least curious about with this offense. You do have Bijan Robinson in there with Kyle Pitts, who ran a ton of routes just at the wide receiver position last year, moving guys around. Maybe Bijan Robinson goes in, plays a little slot, whatever we might see. I mean, we see him run 8 routes in I guess 17 different dropbacks there for Desmond Ridder over the course of the preseason. Do you think this offense has a decent amount of upside here, or do you think that Desmond Ridder is too limited to take advantage of it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird in the way in which they kind of approach playing offense, right? Like, obviously I think they're going to have one of, if not the most unique offensive schemes in football, going to be probably the most run heavy team in football in a lot of ways. Like, there isn't probably a ton of upside, at least as far as like scoring points, if you are going to focus on that, but winning a lot of ugly games, especially given their schedule, I think is very much a distinct possibility. And it is kind of, I would say, almost intriguing in the way in which they've not only approached the preseason, but the way in which it's kind of broken from a betting perspective, because to me, you know, watching the game that they had this weekend, like Desmond Ridder looked, you know, really good. I think he was 7-9 for 80 yards, basically. But he kind of got like unlucky in certain situations. I think his interception in the red zone was like tipped and deflected and landed in basically defensive lineman's, you know, lap at that point in time. So those sorts of fluky type plays, I think maybe are going to point to, like, a lot of people are going to point to Desmond Ridder maybe not being that all that good, but I think he actually looked really good from a PFF grading perspective. He had one touchdown that should have probably been caught that was dropped in the end zone as well. So some of those things obviously don't show up in the traditional box score stat, and if you weren't watching the game, isn't going to be a really direct takeaway. But I think overall this offense has some pretty intriguing opportunities, and I do think if you buy into Arthur Smith kind of being a, you know, a little bit of a, you know, a revolution from an offensive play calling standpoint, like, they could be, I would say, a lot better than what people project. And given the fact that they are, you know, in the NFC South, which is very much the worst division in football, like, they could win some ugly games pounding the rock quite a bit. And if they do get one or two big Bijan Robinson, you know, breakaway type carries in those games, like, they're going to be set up for a lot of success. So I do think they are maybe a little bit under the radar. I think if you, you know, watch what Carolina did this past week, and maybe even a lesser extent Tampa Bay, like, there's a scenario where the Falcons are very much probably the second best team in this division. If they do get one or two breaks their way heading down the stretch, like, they could very much be in line to win this division. So I am more intrigued after this past weekend than what I was before with the Atlanta Falcons. And I do think if you buy into Arthur Smith, there is definitely an upside case for them to actually make the playoffs.
Talking to Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus, if you look at these NFC South odds, Saints plus 120, Falcons plus 215, Panthers 4-1 and Bucks 8-1. I'm glad you brought up the Panthers, because I know you guys are seeing what everyone seems to see, and that is that this offensive line looks really, really bad. And if that's the case, it's going to be very hard for a rookie quarterback to succeed. I actually kind of liked the Panthers heading into the preseason, and then now what I'm seeing, I kind of like them a lot less. What do you think? What is kind of like the bull case here for this team? And then is the bear case like one of the worst teams in the NFL?
Yeah, I very much think the Bear case is one of the worst teams in football, and they just don't have a ton of talent, right? And it goes back to what they did, you know, with the first overall selection. Obviously, getting Bryce Young in the building is a huge win for them from an organizational standpoint, but to give up DJ Moore, who was kind of going to be the one guy that could really separate, I would say right away, like, that's not going to help the offensive line struggles either or something. So it does seem like there is some confounding variables happening for them offensively, and it is, you know, kind of a spot that, you know, Frank Reich has in certain points struggled at previously throughout his 10 years, especially for the Indianapolis Colts. So I think unless Jonathan Mingo can emerge very quickly as a wide receiver type one, or, you know, they're more willing to get Laviska Shenault involved kind of underneath and maybe some more gadgety type plays and low A dot type plays, like, this is a scenario where they don't have a ton of other receivers that I think can separate and separate quickly, especially at this point in his career. So I'm concerned about where they're headed offensively. And I do think that, you know, the bearish case is probably the most likely outcome right now. I don't see a ton of upside, I guess, if Adam Thielen, you know, loses 5 years from his career or something and goes back to a really decent underneath type receiver. That could be the one outcome. But I think they have a ton of issues at both the offensive line and wide receiver position to the point where there's just not enough around Bryce Young this year, I would say, to have them really be all that successful offensively. And if that happens, I don't think the defense is going to carry them far enough to not end up with, you know, one of the worst records in football when it's all said and done.
Ben, the Chargers fooled me last year. So heading into this season, I think I'm just a little too scarred to want to back them yet again. But you do look, the change in offensive coordinator, you bring in Kellen Moore, to go and get Johnson to go along with Keenan Allen, to go along with Mike Williams. You have one of the guys with the biggest arm in the NFL. Criminal last year that he was like 26th A-dot. I mean, there's absolutely not utilizing his natural weapons out there. What do you think about this Chargers team? I mean, it seems as if on paper, if you look at it, it's hard to really poke holes in it.
Right. I definitely agree with you, Matt. And I do think there is, you know, from a betting perspective for me too, I think like everyone's kind of been let down by the Chargers in the last couple of years. Right. And they definitely haven't lived up to expectations, but then to me, like, you kind of got to zig when other people are zigging. And I do think it creates a buying opportunity. And, you know, not only the offensive additions that you talked about, I do think Kellen Moore could be, you know, one of the best offensive play callers in football. If that does happen, that's going to open up so many things. It does seem like Quentin Johnston, as well as getting a ton of positive reports, very much going to make up for if Keenan Allen is kind of continuously aging in a lot of ways. But I think you look at where they're at defensively as well, right? And they had a ton of, you know, key offseason acquisitions last year that really didn't get fully into the fold and really didn't get, I would say, the production that they kind of expected, you know, especially with the Brandon Staley background of being this guru type defensive coordinator. And I think that that's the piece that I really think, you know, creates quite a bit of upside for the Chargers in 2023, is if some of those pieces from last year can finally come together and J.C. Jackson does kind of, you know, reemerge as a shutdown cornerback, because we have seen signs from, you know, Asante Samuel being a little bit of a playmaker in the back half of that defense. And if they can get guys like Joey Bosa, you know, going and in the fold, like, they're kind of an intriguing defense as well. And they have one of the best playmakers at safety in the NFL that can play both the run and the pass in a lot of ways. And we maybe don't fully understand, you know, how beneficial that can be to a defense, especially given, you know, the play caller situation, like I mentioned with Brandon Staley. So I think they're intriguing. I don't know if they're going to get up to, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs type level, but I think if I'm trying to buy into a team like, you know, the Chargers or maybe even like the Buffalo Bills, I'm probably leaning in the Chargers direction, because I do think they're going to end up as probably that second tier of AFC teams and give the Chiefs, I would say, a number of quality games as we come up on this 2023 season.
Ben, we've got about 90 seconds left. Which team is getting too much helium here? I mean, the teams that come to mind, it seems like the Jags, the Lions, the Bears, everyone is really pumping those teams up. Maybe there's someone else that you have in mind. What team is getting too much of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you definitely hit it with the Detroit Lions, basically. You know, they're getting a lot of steam. I do buy into the Jags a little bit more than what people I buy into it probably as much as anybody else. But to me, a team that I just don't know if they're actually going to get there is the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, they've had some very recent defensive acquisitions, but it seems like they're going to have a ton of holes still on their roster. I don't really believe in Odell Beckham Jr. kind of being the answer for them at the wide receiver position. So unless Zay Flowers, I would say, gets into the fold and kind of emerges as that number one wide receiver option quickly for them, I think it could be another long year for them. Everyone wants to say that Todd Monken is going to kind of revolutionize this offense and make it much more, you know, a heavy passing attempt, downfield type play. And I just don't really see that fitting in with what they have from a personnel perspective. And I don't buy into where they're at defensively or in the secondary, especially with another Marlon Humphrey injury. So I think if you're buying into any team in the AFC North, like, the Ravens seem like probably the clearest fade, I would say, at this point in time, and are very much probably not going to live up to, I would say, what their betting market expectation is right now.
Ben, 10 seconds. It's August 21st. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Chiefs, unfortunately. I know it's boring. Chiefs, Seahawks, though.
Chiefs, Seahawks. Okay, there we go. There's the other side of all that. Find his work over at Pro Football Focus. He is Ben Brown. Thanks for joining us today, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great show.
When we come back, an interesting market in the NFL where we can compare who's going to have the most wins. It's head-to-heads. Me and Kelly going to talk it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters sat down with Brent Musburger for an interview. And the only place to see it here is on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and gives the details on Phil Mickelson's gambling, including trying to bet an event that he was playing in. Check out the interview tomorrow. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, here on VSiN. Now, there should be the asterisk there, Kelly, we should say. Phil was trying to bet on himself. He was trying to bet on the U.S. side of things. Like, you know, again, that is an important deal. He wasn't betting he wasn't trying to bet against himself, in which case really does bring in some integrity stuff, but it was a bet on. It was a bet for. He felt really good about things.
Yeah, he was liking their chances.
Yes. So, I mean,
then didn't make the bet.
You know, and the other thing, well, here's the other thing. It's like he's basically says the right thing here, because his response was, I did not bet on that, which, so both things can be true.
That's
Billy,
right.
Billy's side, which is he wanted to bet it, and then Phil said, I did not bet it. Both things can be true. So, like, everyone's living in this world where, you know, their statements are true and no one has to worry about
Should
it.
Should be a fascinating interview to check out, though, tomorrow for sure. And Billy, always always interesting, big book out. Obviously, the Phil Mickelson stuff, a big part of that. Check it out tomorrow. Should be good.
Yeah, and listen, him and Brent have a great relationship, so I'm sure he was able to open up really nicely to Brent. So, again, tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific here on VSiN. Let's talk some college football. Now joining us here, Thor Nystrom. You can catch all his stuff over on Betting Pros. Thor, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
You got it, boys. Good to be here.
So as we are heading into to week zero, I want to talk more some macro thoughts with you. And, of course, all eyes will be on the SEC. You still have Georgia. You still have Alabama. You have LSU that is beginning a ton of buzz as we're kind of the offseason progressed, right? I mean, the buzz about LSU just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. when you look at the SEC in general, is it kind of those three teams and everybody else? Do you think there's a sleeping giant that's in there as well?
Yeah, I like the way that you set that up. If there's the surprise team that's going to jump up and scare people, for me, it's Texas A&M. They, you know, you think about TCU last year when they made the title run. The year before, the reason the wheels fell off, the defense fell off a shelf, and they couldn't pass the ball. Over the offseason, they hired Sonny Dykes. He directly addressed those two things. He's a, you know, passing game guru. And then the defensive side of the ball, they made all these smart signings in the portal. Texas A&M directly addressed the two major issues they had last year, offensive side of the ball in general, and then they had issues stopping the run. They had actually had the nation's best pass defense last year, if you can believe it, but they had that really young front seven. You know, a couple of years ago, they signed, was it six of the top 10 defensive linemen, whatever, and they were playing all those kids, right? So, you know, and then you have the new offensive coordinator in Bobby Petrino, where you expect the offense to jump up. You're not going to have the injuries. Devin Achain was injured last year. Anaya Smith was injured last year, whatever. Now all the kids are older. So if there's one team that I would expect to surprise, it's Texas A&M. But yeah, the three kings at the top of the conference, as it were, that you suggest, that's what it is.
So you look to win the entire thing, right? National championship, plus 220 for Georgia, 6-1 on Bama. And then you get Ohio State, Michigan, and then you find LSU right there at 11-1. Are you buying in to this LSU squad? I mean, listen, this is, I get it. There's a lot of 5-star recruits, a lot of 4-star recruits. And certainly Brian Kelly has been there, done that, as one of the better coaches in the NCAA. It seems like a lot of steam coming in on LSU in the offseason.
Yeah. Let's just say I have a lot of LSU in my portfolio.
All right.
A lot of tickets purchased. Yeah, I mean, I got the SEC title game purchase. I got the over on LSU. I have national title and you know, making the CFP ones as well. Really high on LSU. It's not a surprise to me that the market has, you know, like, you know, sort of swarmed around them and been pushing these things as we get closer to the season, whatever. My projected win total on LSU is just an eyelash under 10, 9.95. That's higher than Alabama. In my system, I have LSU one spot higher in my power rankings too. I really like LSU. I believe Alabama's a little bit down. So LSU is the team that I expect to be playing Georgia in the SEC title game. And Georgia better prepare for a fight this time. It's going to be different than last time because LSU, obviously, they bring in everybody back. The people they sloughed off the team was people they wanted to slough off the team. Mm-hmm. Kayshawn Boutte actually wanted to go back, and Brian Kelly was like, yeah, I don't think so. Remember, Kayshawn was like, I'm coming back to school. And then the next day he's like, just kidding, I'm going to the NFL draft. Heard that that maybe Brian Kelly was like, Kayshawn, maybe you should consider the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, Malik Nabers, he's the guy that you wanted back. He's the stud. And then they went out in the portal. They got a couple of receivers. The offense is just stacked. And then on defense, you have, like, the singular superstar talent guy in Harold Perkins. They have a bunch of experience coming back there. Really like LSU this year.
So we're going to learn a lot about LSU in game number one over in the ACC side of things. The Florida State Seminoles are your second shot, and that's just barely behind Clemson. Clemson plus 145 to take it down, and then Florida State at plus 150 to take down the ACC. When we look there, how do you view Florida State as a whole, and how do you kind of see that LSU and Florida State game there on the neutral site?
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, one or the other in the ACC as far as FSU and Clemson. And my system's got that Florida State Clemson game, or I'm sorry, the Florida State LSU game as dang near a coin flip. I can't wait for that game. Remember last year when it opened on the Monday and it was like everyone was watching it? Yeah. You know, like on Twitter, it was the only thing you could see was people writing about that game because they had the Monday night to themselves. That game was super duper fun. And this one's going to be way better because both those programs were building for this year. They both happened to be sort of a year ahead of schedule, right? Like, I mean, LSU did way better last year than we thought they were going to do. But yeah, like that game this year, you're talking about two legitimate college football playoff contenders, not just contenders for their conference. The loser of that game, they'll still be in it. You know, then they don't have another game that they can lose, but yeah, that one's going to be fun. But I have it basically as a pick 'em.
What do you look at from a Clemson standpoint? I mean, it seems like every year Clemson does something to kind of let their backers down, right? I mean, it seems like you're looking at whether it was the quarterback position in DJU, who obviously is now gone, or whatever it might be. They're the very, very slight favorite. Do you have them better than Florida State in your rankings?
Just slightly. I got them two spots higher. Clemson at 8 and Florida State at 10 in my preseason power rankings. I'm a little bit more bullish on Clemson, at least as far as the ceiling goes, of this team could make the college football playoff and this team could potentially contend for the national title. Whereas if you had asked me, and I think you guys did, like each of the last couple preseasons, it was like, this team cannot win the national title. And like, you know, DJU, he's a nice kid and stuff like that. But when you're in the games against the awesome teams, they just couldn't pass effectively enough. He's not accurate enough. He can run and he can throw it deep, but he's not accurate. And so the offense would just bog down. And then the offensive coordinators they've had the last couple of years, the game plans and stuff like that, they just weren't dynamic enough. Now you have the guy in Garrett Riley who brought friggin' Max Dugan to the national title game last year. If he can do that, that guy can walk on water. Now he's working with all these talented guys there. And Kate Klubnik, you finally have a guy that can throw. We'll have to see if Clemson has enough at receiver. That's the one position that they used to be awesome at. It's come down a little bit. I do think the receiving talent may be a little bit better than maybe the last couple of years, but we'll have to see. They need someone to emerge there. But Will Shipley's obviously a stud, and the defense is going to be salty again. Jeremiah Trotter, all those different guys. So they're a dangerous team for sure.
When we look, Ohio State and Michigan, at least from a futures odds perspective, are right there neck and neck. How do you have those guys? Do you have them separated by a little bit more than maybe the odds do?
Michigan is my pick to win the national title this year. I am a little bit lower on Ohio State, I would say, than the market. The team I'm a little bit higher on in that division is Penn State. I could see Penn State usurping Ohio State this year. But Michigan is my team this year. That team is really, really good. If there's one team out there that Georgia's like, oh, man, we really don't want to run into this team in the CFP, it's Michigan. You know, just bringing everybody back and everything like that, and the dynamic running back duo they have. The offensive line has won the last two Joe Moore Awards, which has never happened. And then Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl czar, tweeted out like a couple months ago that they have 7 guys on their preseason Senior Bowl watch list from the Michigan offensive line on it. So like they, you know, even backups on this year's offensive line are NFL prospects and everything like that. That's my squad there. Ohio State, I'm just a little bit concerned about the quarterback situation, right? Like, I mean, it was like, oh, McCord's going to be the guy. We still don't have an announcement. I heard that Ryan Day was going to the podium. I haven't heard if he's announced the starting quarterback. It's gone on a little bit too long for me where it's like, you start to get a little bit skittish of what are they going to get there. So that's sort of my trepidation with them. But I love Penn State's talent on sort of the back end of that. So I could see Penn State hopping Ohio State.
November 25th could be very, very interesting. No doubt about that. You can find his great work over at Betting Pros. He is Thor Nystrom. Thor, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, boys.
He likes my LSU Tigers there, Kelly. Makes me a little nervous. He's got all kinds of tickets on the Tigers. He's the one that's brought those odds down, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. You're Too bad they're going to start off 0-1.
I was going to say, I don't know if people know or not, but there was a nice friendly little wager last year between Kelly and myself. Kelly, a Florida State Seminole, me with LSU. And, you know, we'll have to figure something interesting out this year definitely. As well. It'll be fun regardless, right? Like, we'll just get together and we'll just be high-fiving. And I'm sure there will be no trash talking whatsoever amongst who's going to win that game again September the 3rd, kicking it off with two very, very good teams with high hopes. When we come back, let's circle back to some of those head-to-heads and see what's going on there. And, of course, we'll run through the MLB slate as well. It is a numbers game here on a Monday.